corner, taking my pull up. Aswell takes. Hack. Who gets the shot? Ernie Kello, left footed. Hornell. Pull up. Kello can't miss the miss, surely. Kello scores his 18th of the season. That's 1-0. Kello.
As if you didn't know, my name is Tony Kello. That nearly rhymes. You're listening to Kello's Bootlaces with Fulzy and Kirkster.
Kello's Bootlaces, the Exeter City show for Grecian fans the world over. Two men with faces for radio.
We're online on your mobile and on 107.3. This is Radio X. More importantly, it's an FA Cup week on Kello's Bootlaces, and the excitement and the atmosphere in the studio tonight is palpable, isn't it, Graham?
It is palpable. You can almost feel it and you can touch it, if that's what palpable means.
Well, I must be excited because I'm calling you Graham.
Exactly. Come on, City. Come on.
And Mr. Larkin's fair to him. He told us what palpable meant, so fair play.
Yeah, I got that from a dictionary, so yeah. Okay.
Guys, we're up for the cup, aren't we?
Massively.
Massively. Absolutely, and we got a good chance, haven't we, Simon?
Well, the form Liverpool are on, you would have said so, yeah.
What about the form Exeter City are on?
Well, we won't talk about that.
Well, we've got a great show coming up tonight. Kirky and myself travelled up to Liverpool over the Christmas period, and we caught up with the ex-Exeter City manager, Alex Inglethorpe, who was in charge, of course, the last time we got to the third round in 2005. Kirky, what were you doing 11 years ago? Still excited?
Yeah, hugely, because I just sorted out my tickets, I think. So, the big road trip up to Old Trafford. 11 years to the day, I can't believe that's gone. Can you remember it like it was yesterday? It was a great, great, great occasion. And when that Man United team was read out, I think we all thought we had half a chance, didn't we? So let's hope the Mickey Mouses did the same.
Well, he certainly did. And it was great to catch up with Alex, wasn't it?
No, it's great. So generous with his time, wasn't he? What did he give us, 3 hours?
3 hours we spent.
3 hours. You were in your element, weren't you, in the Liverpool Academy.
It was a brilliant day out. It was a brilliant
3 hours?
Day out.
I can only do an hour with you boys. Jesus.
So we'll catch up with Alex. Two parts tonight, all about that third round tie 11 years ago, and then a future show, his time at Exeter City. We'll also talk a little bit about Dagenham and Redbridge, the game that's just gone on Saturday, another disappointing home result for Exeter City. And if we've got time, we'll squeeze in one of Kirky's FA Cup quizzes. But first, we're going to start the show with a song that might give us all a little bit of hope ahead of Friday.
Trouble seems so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay.
Number 51, Exeter City, will be at home to Liverpool.
Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly.
Away by Carragher. Howard's there once more. Still going. Oh, yes! He's won it! Liverpool are going out to the FA Cup.
And what a chance and what a goal! Richard Paquette, can you believe this? What a sensation here at Anfield. It's at the cup end. It's 1-0 to Harrington Waterlooville.
Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
Brilliant from Gunnarsson again, and the fantastic ball in Reading lead. Shane Long with the goal, his first of the season. They were going out a few moments ago. Now they could be jumping Liverpool out.
I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday.
Decent cross. It's a third goal for Oldham, and Liverpool's afternoon goes from bad to worse.
I need a place to hide away.
Oldham Athletic, who've lost seven out of their last eight in League One, have pulled up the impossible here. They've beaten Liverpool 3-2.
You're listening to Kello's Bootlaces on Radio X. Hats off to you, Simon Larkins. Excellent job on the song there. And Kirky puts it into perspective, doesn't it? Oldham had lost 7 out of 8.
I can't believe that, could you? Because I remember that game. Yeah. I think, you know, a few City fans feel a little bit down about the four league games and the, you know, the four losses in a row and the fact that we're going in on that bad run. But like you say, that's a massive boost. You know, it's, as they say, funny old game. So Oldham lost 7 out of 8, 7 out of 9.
Yeah, incredible.
And did it.
So it gives a little bit of hope ahead.
They do say your form book goes out of the window for the FA Cup, and perhaps that's true with that little clip there. And just going through all those clips as well, they were all after the 2006 FA Cup when they won it against West Ham. And they've had a few shocks in that time. They've lost to Barnsley at home. They've lost to Reading at home.
Okay,
when
Reading
was struggling.
They
even lost to Northampton in the League Cup, if you remember that one. That wasn't actually in there.
And the FA Cup against West Ham, that wasn't easy, was it?
No, they made a hash of that as well, really, didn't they?
Carragher loves an own goal.
Right, let's give you your competition question this week then. We always love to give away a pair of tickets here on Kellos, but remember they will not be for the Liverpool game this Friday. The question this week then, who was Exeter City's last victory against? Who was Exeter City's last victory against? If you know the answer to that, you need to email the answer to studio@radiox.co.uk. That's studio@radiox.co.uk. Exeter is E-X-E, of course. You need to get that email in by 10 to 9 this evening, and we will give out the winner before we all head off to find out if Simon's correct with the meaning of the word palpable. I think it's a bit dodgy myself. Right, let's crack on then, and we've got to talk a little bit about Saturday, Kirky, haven't we?
I think we should, shouldn't we?
Can you sum it up for us?
Awful. I think, mate, honestly, it was, I guess I do what a lot of fans do. I wasn't too upset about the way we played at home to Luton, because we were really good that day, weren't we? We were just so unlucky. But then Oxford was a little bit of a wake-up call, really. And, you know, we started conceding bad goals again, haven't we? And so then you look at the Wimbledon game and Saturday's game, and you think, OK, two home wins, you know, we've got a game in hand on some teams. That'll put us on 36 points just outside the playoffs. It doesn't work like that, does it? And I thought we were... I couldn't see us scoring against Wimbledon. We were slightly better, I think, but I don't know. It was just a horrible goals, weren't they? Horrible game, cross coming in and free headers. And I think Tiz said afterwards, didn't he, to Simon, that you know, if we the 2 18-yard boxes, we're just not good enough in. But you know, I watched the Man United Swansea game on Match of the Day, and Swansea scored a goal that was exactly the same as Dagenham's winner, where a guy got his cross in, where he was and a chap had a free header against four defenders. So it happens in all aspects of football. But I just think, yeah, I just feel a little bit flat going into the Liverpool game, having lost 4 on the spin.
Well, let's come to you, Simon, because you're one to quickly defend the goalkeeper. Do you think he was fouled for the first goal?
No, I thought he was fouled in the Luton game. I didn't think he was fouled in the last game. I think Bobby's coming in for a bit of unfair criticism at the minute, though. I think people are saying he should be having that ball on the edge of his 6-yard box as it gets crossed to the back post, but there's 3 or 4 defenders there that should be getting the head to the ball, and if he's got 2 players in front of him and the ball, why should he be picking up the ball at the edge of the 6-yard box? It should be one of the defenders there that's not switching off and getting the head to the ball, and I think it's one of the defenders' fault for allowing that header to come in the first place.
One thing as well is we're not stopping the crosses coming in, are we?
Yeah, and that's another, you know, real Achilles heel for Exeter City. If you look at the last few games, there's far too many crosses coming into the box that aren't being stopped, and it's kind of like you can see the full-backs going up against the person that's crossing it in, and maybe just putting in a weak jump or just not being tight enough, and they really need to sort that out, because if they do that against Liverpool, I mean, Liverpool are going to look to get crosses into Christian Benteke, and if they do it with the ease that, you know, Dagenham and Redbridge and Wimbledon have done in the past few games, then, you know, they could score 3 or 4.
Do you agree, Kirky?
Yeah, I totally agree. Mainly it's coming in down the left-hand side, isn't it? I do feel a bit for Woody, because, you know, Woody's having a little bit of a spell, isn't he, where if he gets tight, he gets turned, and if he stands off, the crosses come in, and we're just not perhaps giving him enough support and getting close enough to him as a unit. You know, it was Troy's first game back, wasn't it, for a while, so we've got to get tighter and stop the crosses coming in, haven't we? You know, and I think we need to defend more as a unit. We need to get midfield guys coming back and you know, defending deeper and working as a unit, because it's going to be a long old 90 minutes, and you don't want to go a goal down, do you?
It was interesting that Ribbs was on the bench.
Yeah.
You know, he played the last 10 minutes in the previous game. You'd have thought he'd have naturally started, wouldn't you?
Well, if he's good enough to be on the bench, I would have thought he should have started, shouldn't he?
The trouble is, not these players aren't managing to get the training in their legs because the cat and fiddle's waterlogged. And I think that's probably when you look at the Christmas and New Year results, perhaps another factor is the fact that these players are coming back from injury, but they're not fully fit. So it is over Luton, Oxford, and Dagenham and Redbridge and Wimbledon, pretty much named the same starting 11, bar one or two changes. And over that space of time and that many games, it's asking a lot. And I thought they looked good against Luton, okay against Oxford, tied against Wimbledon and tied against Dagenham and Redbridge.
Yeah, I think that's entirely fair, isn't it?
Yeah.
But we haven't had the central midfielders, have we? So, you could look at Tears, and I thought we looked tired against Wimbledon. I thought he might have shaken it up a little bit against Dagenham on Saturday. But, he's a loyal manager, isn't he? He's stuck with the players.
Yeah,
it's good to see Nobes coming back on.
Well, I was just going to say that was one of the real positives to get Nobes back and have a little bit of game time. Do you think he'll start Friday now?
I hope he does. Yeah, I hope he does. I think we all know what Nobes brings to the team, a bit of, quality of passing, and Joel Grant when he goes into the middle, or Alex Nichols when he drops back into the middle, they're not midfield players, are they? They're wide players, and I think, towards the end of a game, about 50, 60 minutes, when we are going forward, you can see the counter-attack. There is a lot of space in the middle of that pitch, and I do, if Nobes comes back, it will be interesting, because I think, who's going to be the unlucky one to drop out? Is it going to be Jordan Tilson, who's done superbly well since he's come back into the team? But personally, I would like to see Nobes in there.
Jordan did all right, though, again, didn't he?
At the moment, I think that's probably his position as a holding midfielder, because his technique is outstanding. And I think, he's replaced him in the back two. You're going to play Troy Brown. You're going to play Jordan Mortaylor. So the question is, do you play Jordan at centre half or do you play him at left back? And I think he probably won't want to change his back four too much going into the Liverpool game. But what do you think, Simon? Do you think
he could throw a curveball, and this is just thinking out loud, but if he wants to keep Jordan Tilson in the team, perhaps he throws a curveball and plays a back three. If Nathan's prediction about Liverpool not getting too many crosses into the box, perhaps he plays a back three and asks wing-backs like Ribeiro and Woodman to get further forward and goes with that, and maybe then Jordan Tilson keeps his place in the side and David Noble comes back in as well.
But team like Liverpool, that's going to hurt him as well, because, like you say, they don't put those crosses into the box. So, yeah.
Might be an option.
Well, it's going to be an interesting one, isn't it? But just finally, to sum up the league form, I think, four defeats on the trot. It has been disappointing, especially, take Oxford out of the mix. You'd have expected a good points tally from those other three fixtures, wouldn't you?
Well, I think, when we went into the Man United game, we went in on a great run, didn't we? I think, we won sort of three or four games prior to that. But I think, you look at it was the Dagenham game, wasn't it? Was the one, I think, chance for us to get back on the bike, if you like. And I think, people are forgetting. I think it's next Tuesday. We're going to Morecambe, aren't we? So after the Liverpool game, that Morecambe game is going to be a pretty, pretty big game.
You're listening to Keller's Bootlaces on Radio X. We've got the views of Alex Inglethorpe. Well, the memories of Alex Inglethorpe, really, are that Old Trafford tie 11 years ago. We'll do your competition question again, and hopefully we'll have time to squeeze in Kirky's FA Cup quiz. Coming up next, here's a bit of Coldplay. You're listening to Keller's Bootlaces on Radio X. It's the Monday night hour between 8 and 9. It's all things Exeter City. That was Coldplay, Adventure of a Lifetime, and we're on a pretty big FA Cup adventure this week, aren't we, lads?
Very good, mate. Very good.
Yeah, nice little link there, wasn't it? Let's remind you of the competition question again tonight. Your chance to win a pair of tickets to a future Exeter City game. The question this evening is, who was Exeter City's last victory against? If you know the answer to that and you'd like to win a pair of tickets to a future Exeter game, they won't be Liverpool tickets, by the way. You need to email studio@radiox.co.uk. X is EXE, of course. You need to get that in by 10 to 9 this evening. Right, over the Christmas period, Kirky and I made the long road trip up to Liverpool. We caught up with the former Exeter City manager, who is now the director of the Liverpool Academy, Alex Inglethorpe. Very generous was of his time, and we had the pleasure of sitting down in his office and nattering all things football. And we took him back to that time 11 years ago when he made that trip with Exeter City to Old Trafford. So we've got a couple of parts coming up now as we play that interview back to you, and we started by taking him right back to the third round draw. Let's take you back 11 years, you're Exeter City manager, and we get drawn against Manchester United in the third round of the FA Cup. Do you remember where you were for the draw?
I do. I was around Steve Perriman's house at the time, and I remember being in his front room and course, Manchester United came out the hat first, and I think there was a part of you that hopes Exeter City will be the one out, but when it comes out, you're not quite sure whether that's still part of you imagining it or whether it's actually a reality. So, of course, it quickly sunk in that we'd drawn the big one.
And there's a pretty iconic photo at the time, I think, of you and Steve coming off the sofas, arms are raised.
Yeah, well, I think we just realised straight away that, you know, with the situation the club was in, just, you know, immediately that was a bit of a game changer for the club. So I think it was more than just a dream tie from a footballing perspective. It was more about, you know, the impact that could have on the club and, you know, in changing the situation that it was in.
Obviously, Tizzle, we're going through the same sort of thing now. The draw comes out, the game's 4 or 5 weeks away. How did you keep things in perspective? How did you keep the team focused before that game?
I remember, it's funny you should say that, because I remember going into the dressing room the day after, you know, obviously trying to suppress the big smile on the face, and the players probably do something similar. I think we had four games before we were meant to play them, and I remember saying to them, the team from, I'm not stupid, you all want to play at Old Trafford, of course you do, but the team's not been picked. You know, you use the next four games to pick the team, so, you know, if you're in the team, well done, do your best to stay in it, and if you're not in it, then there's opportunities for you. But I think that was the incentive to play at Old Trafford was to do well in the four games. I think we sort of won all four leading into it. I remember going to Old Trafford sort of on the back of a bit of momentum, which I think helped as well.
Would you have preferred to have played that game at St James's Park or at Old Trafford?
Old Trafford.
Definitely?
Yeah, 100%. I think that it's... I think just from a supporter's point of view more than anything else, I think to actually go to, you know, have a day out and go to a, you know, one of the biggest Premier League clubs, if not one of the biggest clubs in the world, and see your team play on their pitch as well, I think is, you know, you wouldn't want to have deprived anyone of that. From a footballing perspective, probably at home, because you fancy your chances far more at home than you would do at Old Trafford. But I think just for the club and what it meant to everyone, then it was perfect to go to Old Trafford.
Talking about, you know, picking the team, you have four games. How did you manage players' expectations? Because like you say, everyone wants to play in that tie, don't they? Mm. Was that your toughest man management period as a manager of the football club?
I think so. I'm not sure it was too difficult. I seem to remember we had a couple of injuries, and I think there's also a realism among some of the players. They sort of know when they're in the team, when they're not in the team. You know, the ones that were probably, you know, a bit further away from the squad probably didn't expect to play there, but I think we made the decision that everyone was going to be involved, everyone was going to have a part to play, as, you know, in the squad. And I've always believed that you're only as good as your bench or your players that aren't playing, that, you know, you can usually tell by their faces of whether it's a harmonious squad or not. But I think it was just trying to be as honest as you possibly could with as many of them, and as probably as early as well, because, you know, I remember that you wouldn't want your whole family necessarily going up to Old Trafford if you weren't going to be in the squad. You wouldn't want to make all those arrangements. So I think we tried to be as fair with them as, you know, as early as we could.
Mm. And moving on to the day itself, 11 years on, could you still name the team that you picked?
Probably not. I think it would be, goodness me. I remember probably Paul Jones was in goal.
Good start.
Yeah, Dean Moxey would have been at left back. Scotty would have been at right back. I'd probably think Santos and Toddy, centre halves. Marcus Martin played, I think, in midfield. Come back to that. Andy Taylor played, yeah, sure. Sean Devine, Steve Flack. So I'm probably missing.
I think Gary Sawyer was centre half.
Gary Sawyer was centre half.
No, I think Alex Janine was left back.
Okay, so I've got. And so Dean would have played up line. Left midfield, you're right.
Yeah. What are your big memories of the actual game? I mean, we've all got our memories.
I mean, it's great that we're speaking like this, but the truth is, I haven't really thought about it too much. I've never wanted it to be sort of like a game that defines a career, but it's lovely to think about it now, but I haven't done for 11 years. I've not. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's not something that I tend to think about, but I suppose if I had to search the memories now, I'd be thinking, I remember maybe getting a corner quite early on and thinking, okay, this would be interesting because we're not bad at these, and this is a moment that we you know, possibly could see. And I think I remember chunking it down in the player's mind, thinking, okay, what does the first 20 minutes look like? How do we if the first 20, you know, what do we then do? What, you know, go through the what ifs. What if we're two or three goals down? What if we're up? What if we're level? And just trying to sort of break. And I remember sort of getting to half time and feeling that we hadn't really been under. I thought we'd managed the game fairly well up until that point. And then I remember sort of Ronaldo and whoever else coming on, Sam Smith, and Scholes coming on, thinking, well, it's not fair. And I'm, come on, we're doing all right here, and you're not allowed to do that. You shouldn't be allowed to sort of bring those players on.
That last 15 minutes, did you age at all? Or?
I think you end up feeling, you know, you make the subs that you make, and you end up feeling a little bit helpless at the end of it. There's not much you can really do because they've got the ball, you haven't, which we were happier with, if I'm truthful. You know, our worry is always going to be when we had the ball, not what we did. Because, if we didn't have the ball, I was confident in our shape and our mentality and preparation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I thought it was, again, I don't remember Jonesy putting off anything that you say was an outrageous save, and I don't remember them missing a chance which we thought, wow, that's something which, so that the whole of the game, it felt, you know, probably like unnervingly comfortable. And mm-hmm. I suppose in the back of your mind, the worst time is the added time, the additional time. That's the worst part, you know.
Scholes, he had that chance across the 6-yard box, didn't he?
Yeah, he's a bad player.
You're listening to Keller's Bootlaces on Radio X. Anyway, we're halfway through our interview with former City manager Alex Inglethorpe, who of course was in charge the last time we reached the third round. We went to Old Trafford, as we know. We drew 0-0 and brought them back to the park for a replay. Let's crack on with that interview now. And we caught up with Alex on his thoughts on the final whistle.
I was just watching highlights again in the past week.
Right.
And you look the coolest man at Old Trafford walking down the steps to shake Alex Ferguson's hand, but your heart must have been pumping, wasn't it? It must have been going 10 to the dozen, 0-0 at Old Trafford.
It was, but I think as well we'd made sort of a pact with ourselves, and I think this is where Steve Perriman, you know, would have been integral to it as well. That I think we'd, as a group of players, we were desperate to do well by the club and not let ourselves down, and we'd managed to sort of navigate our way through the press, and we hadn't had any silly headlines, so there's no silly pictures or comments from players about what we were going to do, and everything was very, very correct and respectful, I thought. And so I suppose as a part of it that we just wanted to, and I think as well, we wasn't just a day out for the players. I genuinely believed that we were going to get something out of the game. So, you know, I'm not saying at the end of the game, I suppose you straight away onto the next one thinking as well, all right, they've got to come to our place now, and that's basically you can win it.
We've asked you before, and I probably expect the same answer, but it's 11 years on. What did Sir Alex say to you on the final whistle?
He was really good. He invited me in for a glass of wine afterwards, and we sat and chatted, and he was just very giving of his time, and we went in, and after we did the press, and he was just good, just spoke, not necessarily about this game, but just about football in general, and you know, he's everything you'd think he is.
And so 0-0 at Old Trafford, quite a low-key build-up to that game, as it were, but I guess it exploded after that result, didn't it?
Yeah, it did a little bit. I think it went a bit crazy for a week or so, and great feeling around the place, fantastic for the club to suddenly realise that, you know, it was a bit more of a payday than they thought, that you got the home one as well, and I think, of course, the preparation going to the home match was tough, because I think then it really did go, out of the realms of normality. It was, but it was a wonderful time as well, because I think the players had their, you know, the exposure that they deserved. But suddenly you could see that training sessions probably, you know, there was more photographers there than normal, more press, more TV. Great experience for everyone.
And when you handed that team sheet for the second game, and you saw the changes that he'd made, and he was taking it a lot more seriously, and you know,
we got the flight roster. we were lucky enough to, I remember looking back now, I think we got the flight roster from Flyby, so we knew who was
on the plane.
So we knew from, you know, when they were, we had an idea that the big guns were coming in. But it's sort of what you wanted in some respects, because you think that the crowd at St James's Park, they deserve to see, a really good representation of what United were, and I thought it was fitting.
Looking back at that second game, obviously they played their big wigs. Potentially we could have been on to a hide-in, but it was quite a tight game, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Sean Devine had that great opportunity to level things.
Yeah, he did.
Lost it in the floodlights, he said. No one loses anything in our floodlights. Is there anything, looking back differently, you'd have perhaps done tactically or...?
Not really. I think, you know, ultimately you're playing against... It's a team that went on to win the Champions League, didn't they? So I think that, you know, over two games and 180 minutes, the tie was effectively settled in the last 10 minutes of the second match. So sort of, you know, 175 minutes into the game, the tie's over. So that's not bad. And you're right, Sean did have a big chance at 1-0, which if you wanted it to fall to anyone, you'd have wanted it to fall to him.
Yeah.
You know, he's the most natural finisher we had. And but it wasn't meant to be, so it would have been interesting if it had gone in, though.
Yeah, it would have. And just finally, Alex, your thoughts on this game coming up then? Obviously, you're here at Liverpool now, you've still got a real good affection that comes across for Ecstasy.
Mm.
What's your thoughts ahead of this one?
It'll be tough for Liverpool. We know it'll be tough. I'm sure that, you know, I think it's in the middle of a really sort of congested period of fixtures for the club. It'll be a tie that... everyone will be looking forward to that. I think you're right, you said to me before about the third round always being sort of like an iconic sort of period around the FA Cup. There's always sort of like some giant killing that goes on, and you know, I'm sure very keen to avoid it being Liverpool that's you know, part of that. But you know, I think if anything can happen, can't it? It's a great place. I've got to tell you a quick story about the Man United game for you. We want to move on.
Oh, we love stories.
We love stories.
So, afterwards, I remember being at the Camp Fiddle, and United were really good. They gave us all the shirts from the first game, the Old Trafford game. So I've got them in the filing cabinet on the bottom floor. And one by one, the players have come in, and they get to choose a shirt. And there's one shirt I cannot get rid of for love nor money. Right, and they don't. This is one that no one wants. It's sort of, they look through it and they sort of hold it up to the, so they see the number and the name on the back, and they're like, no, I'll have that one. Or yeah, okay, I'll have O'Shea, or I'll have this, or I'll have Smith. And okay, so they go through. This shirt is hanging around the bottom of my filing cabinet for weeks, probably months, until eventually I can't remember for the life of me. You came in and said, "So that shirt hanging around?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Can I have it?" I said, "Yes." Or no one else wants it. PK.
Okay.
Brilliant. Worth a fortune, eh?
Probably.
Cool.
And I'm kicking myself because I didn't want it either, so what do I know?
Brilliant.
Steve Flack and Gerard Piquet, what a combination.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You never say that in the same sentence too often, would you?
Not unless you're drunk.
Thank you so much, Alex.
Pleasure.
Brilliant.
This is Kello's Bootlaces with Fulsey, Kirksey and Adrian Edmondson.
You're listening to Kello's Bootlaces. Kirky, great interview with Alex. Great to spend some time with him. And we forget how young he was for that Manchester United game. Did you expect him to go on to bigger and greater things like he has?
Well, I don't know. He was always very good at bringing the young players through, wasn't he? You know, like your George Friends, your Dean Moxies, your Danny Seaborns. Very into the youth academy at time, was Liam coming through. But like you, I think, you know, you tend to forget he was only 32, 33. What an experience. And I think there's a few things in the interview. He doesn't look back on the game much, he said, didn't he? And also, he didn't know the team. I'd be thinking about that game every single night. But I think what struck me, Fulsey, was how passionate he is about Exeter, because when we walked in, he was, you know, first thing he wanted to know, how's Exeter as a city, what's happening down there, you know, with the looking back fondly at his time. So first result they look for.
But 8 years at Tottenham, of course, and he's now at Liverpool, and the thing that struck me, he just felt so at home there and so part of it.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what comes when you got the top job at the academy.
Well, he is the Don, he's the man, isn't he?
He is the Don. Well, we've got the second part of that interview to come up. It may be next week, it may be the week after, and of course next week just depends on what happens on Friday night, because we may have a rock and roll of a show next Monday,
saying,
depending
if we get
on
tonked,
the score.
It'll be the second part of the interview, will it?
It will indeed. Right, Kirky,
yes.
It's time for your big FA Cup quiz.
Yes, and my prediction is there's going to be more goals scored on Saturday than correct answers in this quiz. It's a hard one. It's Simon versus Fulsey. Simon, you ready for this?
First time.
Yep. First question. Who has won? Which footballer?
Who? Me.
It's you.
Okay.
Keep up.
Who has won? Which footballer has won the most FA Cup winners' medals?
I will go with Brian Robson.
Is not correct. Fulsey, over to you.
Or Giggsy?
No. Nace keeping score. Nace, you want to show here or not?
You know what, I was even near the question. Just keep your score.
Ashley Cole has won 7.
I knew it had to be Chelsea related.
Fulsey, over to you. Who has won the FA Cup the most times?
Who has won the FA Cup the most times?
Which football team has won the FA Cup the most times?
I think that must be United, mustn't it?
Over to you, Si.
Yeah, it's United, isn't it?
No, it's wrong. It's over to you.
Chelsea?
Arsenal.
Too late, Fulsey. Right, Simon, back over to you. How many times has Liverpool won the FA Cup?
7.
Brilliant. Oh. How did you know that?
It's in the song, if you listen to it.
Right, Fulsey. 2 current Exeter City players played against Liverpool for Exeter City in 2011. Can you name one of them?
Oh, that's...
Just one of them.
I will... Two current
Exeter City players played against Liverpool 2011. Can you name one of them?
David Noble.
Is right for one.
Yes.
Coming over to you, Si. Yes. Name the other.
I'm going to go with... Matt Oakley.
Tom Nichols.
Oh, I could have stealed that.
You could have done.
Yeah, I could have stole it as well.
Yeah, would you have gone Tom Nichols?
I would have gone Tom Nichols.
He doesn't get a point now.
No point.
Right, Fulsey, back to you. Who was the last Liverpool player to score in an FA Cup final?
The last Liverpool player to score in an FA Cup final?
Was?
Oh, man. I should know that.
You should.
What's the year?
2012. Lost to Chelsea 2-1.
The last Liverpool player to score.
Ramirez scored.
Not for Liverpool.
No, Chelsea went 2-0 up, and then this player scored in 2012.
Torres?
Over to you, Si.
Michael Owen.
Andy Carroll.
Oh, yeah, I remember it now.
He's stopped playing by then.
Your last question. How many times have Exeter City played Liverpool in the FA Cup before?
Shocking.
Only once in the FA Cup before. They've played 3 times in the League Cup before.
So once in the FA Cup once is correct.
Yeah.
He's a journo, isn't he?
That's what he does all day. Question. Stevie P, the legend, lifted the FA Cup 2 years running. In 1981, he lifted it when they beat Man City. He lifted it in 1982. Who did Spurs beat in 1982 when Stevie P lifted the FA Cup?
In 1981, they beat Manchester City,
correct,
didn't they?
Correct, Mondo. Yep.
In 1982, did they beat...
Now, a replay.
West Ham.
His head's gone. Si, over to you.
I think is that the Ricky Villa final?
No, that's Man City, mate.
Okay, I'll go Coventry.
QPR.
Coventry beat them, didn't they?
Coventry did beat them. Yeah. Mm. How are we doing, Nate? What's the scores on the doors?
You ready?
Oh, I can't have lost the Simon, surely.
Fulsey has gone and got 1.
Yeah.
Classic.
Simon with 2. Simon with 2. 3 points. Well done, mate.
Well done, 2-1 to City Simon. On Friday.
Yeah, that'd be good, wouldn't it? 2-1 to City.
Fair play indeed. Right, I can't believe I lost this, Simon. I'll never hear the end of that. Right, let's give you the competition winner then for this evening. We asked the question... Which was Exeter City's last victory? And it was, Kirky?
Port Vale, in the FA Cup second round about 3 years ago, it feels like. About 5 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago.
Cool. It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was great. If we play like we played against Port Vale.
Yeah, we'll be absolutely fine. And we're going to. Positive
cool.
vibes.
Excellent. Well, we had a few wrong answers. We had lots of right answers. I think we had a bumper entry tonight, which was great. And the winner this evening is Charlie Howe.
Well done, Charlie boy. Charlie boy, Charlie girl.
Congratulations to you, Charlie. Those tickets will wind their way to you. We'll send your details off to the football club and they will be in contact to you. So congratulations, Charlie. 8 pair of tickets for you. Right, just some quick news from the club. Obviously, we've got Liverpool arriving. It's a 5-8 kickoff on Friday, isn't it?
7:55 is right.
Yeah, so don't think it's an 8 o'clock and come in.
Don't
minute
roll
two.
Up to the park at 7:45.
No, I think it'll be a little bit congested, yeah. So I would try and get there quite early if you want to get in and not miss any of the action. So that's 5-8 kickoff on Friday. Let's just remind you quickly about the redevelopment as well, because that's a big topic that's gone under the radar, obviously, because of the build-up to the cup match. There's big plans to redevelop the away end and the old grandstand at St James's Park. The club do need your support, so please head to the official club website, exetercityfc.co.uk. You can scroll down through the news items and click on the redevelopment, and the club needs your feedback. They need you to get involved, so please get on to that and get involved there and leave your details and do what the club needs you to do, because we need this redevelopment to happen, don't we, Kirky?
Yeah.
you know, for the future of the club, better facilities, and the old grandstand has really outlasted itself, hasn't it, Simon?
Yeah, we need a new press box.
We need a new press box. We do indeed. So that's that. And just one more thing. Thursday night, Jan Molby is at the football club. If you'd like to come along, it's a sportsman's dinner on Thursday night. Jan Molby, obviously a Liverpool legend, is the guest speaker ahead of the game on Friday. If you'd like to book a space for that, then you need to contact Mark Jenkins at the football club. So just phone up the club number, ask for Mark Jenkins and say you're interested in the Jan Molby dinner and he'll sort all the details for you. Right, let's talk about Friday then, guys, in the few minutes that we've got left. Realistically, Kirky, score?
I think, well, you just, the longer it goes, the more chance we've got, haven't we? You know, I think it's going to be interesting because Tiz will throw a curved ball, and of course we've got a chance. I mean, that's given me great heart hearing Simon's mash up before the game about Oldham losing 7 out of 8, and they were in League One at the time. Mm. So, under the lights, the iconic lights, Jürgen's first experience of the FA Cup. Yeah, there's no reason why we can't get a draw. I mean, you know, you just don't know in football, do you? Going down to Argyle, we didn't think we'd get a result down there, and we won. I'm not saying that Argyle are better than Liverpool, but, you know, you just do not know in football. It'll be a battling Exeter City performance.
You said curveball for Tiz potentially, which he normally does on these big games. Would you like to suggest anything?
Simon and I think the curveball might be Clinton starting. Do you agree with that one, Si, or not?
Yeah, I agree with that one, and the only other one is perhaps a change in formation, because I did read an article earlier on today, I think it was in one of the Nationals, where they were discussing in the coach's room the preference between a back three or a back four, so that's the only thing I could perhaps see happening as well.
Mm. And we've talked to, you know, certainly off air, that the Klopp's got to take this seriously, hasn't it? It's his first FA Cup game, it's live on the telly, he's on a poor run as well, so he's going to have to play his best team, isn't he?
Yeah, but that might actually work into Exeter City's hands, if you think. If they play their best team, will those players be up for a match at Exeter City? If they play, you know, the young players that they did against Southampton, the Liverpool players could be more up for that, and that could be more of a problem for Exeter City. So if they play the first team, that actually might work into Exeter City's hands.
He's got a lot of players out as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, a lot of players. I think talking Klopp and everyone's playing badly at Liverpool at the moment, it's a time for the youngsters to get involved and prove to the new manager that, you know, why not just pick me? So, yeah, I don't think we'll see a standard Liverpool lineup against Exeter this weekend.
I got a sneaky feeling, I know you guys don't agree, but I got a sneaky feeling that Sturridge will be involved on Friday night.
It's a good introduction, isn't it?
We were saying before, weren't we? I mean, he's mentioned our problems with his hamstrings, and like Simon was saying, it's not the kind of ground you'd bring back a heavy pitch, first game back. I'm not sure. And, you know, there's injury problems all over Liverpool, isn't there? Mm. I think Henderson might be out, Milner might be out. I think Danny Ings is out, isn't he? So there's a lot of players in there you wouldn't recognise as being first choice Liverpool players.
Si, who would you put on Benteke, Jordan or Taylor?
No, I'd put Troy Brown on Benteke, I think. Troy Brown gets his head to everything, and
I don't think he needs anyone on Benteke.
Well, maybe not. Yeah, leave him on Mark.
I don't want to, Honestly, I don't think he knows what he's doing at the moment, that boy.
I don't think you want to give him a free header on the 6-yard box only, because he
is. This will come back to haunt you, mate.
We've struggled with that already. Right, come on, guys, we're running out of time. We're going to go around quickly, starting with Nathan. Prediction for Friday night?
1-0 going up first for Exeter, 3-1 end result.
I think probably 2-1.
City?
No, I think Liverpool.
I'm the Exeter City corner, man. I'm thinking a battling 0-0, take them back to Anfield, which is what you said all along, Falsey. So you're going to be the one that calls this one, because you've got it right so far, but I'm going to go 0-0 City.
0-0?
Yeah, 0-0
City.
0-0
City.
A moral victory.
I will end it then. I think it's going to be a draw as well, but I'm going to go 1-1.
I think
we'll score. We'll get the big bank singing.
Yeah.
There we go, everyone. Thank you ever so much for listening to our FA Cup special, especially to Alex Inglethorpe for his time. And we'll leave you tonight with a song that might just give us a bit of hope.
Troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay.
Number 51, Exeter City, will be at home to Liverpool.
Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. The was a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly.
Away by Carragher. Howard's there once more. Still going. Oh, yes! He's won it! Liverpool are going out to the FA Cup. And what a chance and what a goal! Richard Paquette, can you believe this? What a sensation here at Anfield. It's at the cup end. It's 1-0 to Hampton Waterloo.
Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
Brilliant from Gunnarsson again, and a fantastic ball in Reading lead. Shane Long with the goal, his first of the season. They were going out a few moments ago. Now they could be jumping Liverpool out.
I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday.
Decent cross. It's a third goal for Oldham, and Liverpool's afternoon goes from bad to worse.
I need a place to hide away.
Oldham Athletic, who've lost seven out of their last eight in League One, have pulled up the impossible here. They've beaten Liverpool 3-2.
You've been listening to Keller's Bootlaces on Radio X. It's 9 o'clock.